We welcome our guest speaker again, Mr. Habakkuk. We'll be reading from the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3, the last three verses. You can find it on page 494 of this Bible. Habakkuk, chapter 3. I'll be reading from NKJV, verses 17 to 19. Habakkuk 3, 17. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high heels. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we have heard your word. Speak to us. May Christ himself be heard, be proclaimed. May we believe and obey. Help me to be clear. And give your spirit to your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I hope you read through Habakkuk today. Three chapters. It's basically Habakkuk crying to God out of faith. God, why? The wickedness in this world among your covenant people. And then verse 5, we did not get through this in the sermon, but God answered. Chapter 1, verse 5, God answered. And then you go down to verse 12, Habakkuk was confused. Like, what? What did God answer? God answered, yes, Habakkuk, you are right. Judah is wicked. So I will bring judgment by sending the Chaldeans, the wicked nation, to bring my judgments. So Habakkuk was like, whoa, God! How come you let wicked people trample your people? You can read that. But then chapter 2, he says, the first verse, I will wait upon the Lord. From the childlike faith that cries to God, this is like, if you will, teenage faith. He has questions. He has things he doesn't understand about his father. But Habakkuk says, I know my God, and I trust him. I don't understand the world, but I know him. I don't know this, but I will be still. I will rest on his word, because I know my sovereign God. And what he does is, I will be still and let God be God, to know him as my God. And then God reveals further his word. The rest of chapter 2. Judgment also upon the nations that will bring the judgment to Judah. So verse 3, Habakkuk sees the terrible, terrifying judgments on the nations. He said, I have heard. So if you look at the beginning of the book, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? Now at the end of the book, he says, chapter 3, verse 2, if you will, look at that. O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. Jump down to verse 16 of chapter 3. I hear. Your Bible says, when I heard, my body trembled. When we think that God is out of the picture, missing from the picture, it is not because he is missing, but because we are not sensitive to him. Because we are not in the loop of what God is doing. You don't know the news because you don't read the paper. You don't see God because you don't read his word. You do not follow what he is doing. So now the faith is maturing as he knows his God better. As you study your Bibles, as you know him better, you see the hand of God. You hear the word of God. So you see chapter 1, Habakkuk asked the right question to the right person, God himself. It's like John the Baptist. When he was in prison, he was like, Lord, Jesus, are you the one we should be waiting for? And he sent his disciples, go ask Jesus this. So he asked the right question to the right person, Jesus himself. This is the message this morning. Bring your questions to God. Bring the right question to the right person, God. And trust. If you don't understand the world, know him, understand him. We're limited, but he is sovereign. He is infinite, and he is never wrong. He is too wise to be mistaken. Habakkuk did not understand. And if you look at verse 16, he gives us that. When I heard, my body trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered my bones, and I trembled in myself. He was afraid. Christians, it's normal to be afraid. It is human. That's why God says so many times, fear not. God says to Abraham, without anything, Genesis 15, fear not, Abraham. Because he knows we're feeble. He knows we fear a lot. Habakkuk sees, heard what God says, he feared. But look at verse 16, he said, I might rest in the day of trouble when he comes up to the people. He will invade them with his troops. So when God brings his judgment to Judah and to the people, I will rest. That's what Habakkuk is saying. So I want to point to you the progression of faith, the childlike faith. You can bring your petitions, your concerns, your questions, your complaints to God. But then you grow to trust him. And then you mature. And the mature faith, you don't only not grumble. You not only have peace, but a mature faith takes you above and beyond. You are enabled to sing with joy. Proclaim the peace that you have. So this is what we will be looking at today. A mature faith enables us to sing with joy to God. The faith that sings to God. Our outline will be the song that the world sings. Verse 17. The song that we sing, verse 18, and the reason why we sing, verse 19. The song that the world sings, you probably know, you're in the world. You hear it from your neighbors, from your friends, even from our mouths sometimes. Oh, this world, the wickedness, the government doing funny things, the liberal left-wing people, the decisions that they make, the pollution that we have. The world is a fallen world. It's an evil place. Why? The Bible tells us, because of sin. Sin brought guilt and pollution, corruption, evil. Now, people tend to mistake the two. There is sin, there is evil. Those two are separate. Sin brings evil. Not every evil is sinful. What is evil? Evil is the disruption of shalom. The situation that is not perfect as God created it. This world, that is evil. Corrupted. You and I, we are corrupted. Adam was created perfect with the leanings towards God, but he fell. And here we are. Even from babies, you can see they tend to sin. Self-seeking. We see the corruption. Now, the world is evil. Think about natural calamities, tsunamis, typhoon, storms. That's evil. A child born defective. That is evil, corruption. But it's not necessarily sinful. Sin is the active act against God, against his word, against his law. So you do not have to tie every evil to sin. We cannot explain why a baby is born defective. Blame the parents? Blame the baby? No. We just need to see this is the fallen world we are in because of the sin. You don't have to make the one-to-one correlation. So don't fall to the trap with when you talk to unbelievers, for example. Why is this? Why is that? You just need to say, because we are fallen. You and I contribute to this evil world, to the corruption. The wage of sin is death. The consequence of sin is the corruption. Every aspect. Today we had a study on total depravity. What is that? That is the inability of us, because we are corrupted. And the human beings, humanity, in everything is corrupted. We see things in skewed ways. Aren't we good looking at the bad things better than the better things, the good things? It's easy to talk about the bad things. We learned about the word criticize today. We're so fast to criticize. Why? Because we are sinful. We're fallen. Now listen to the songs out there. The world, they are really good at singing this evil world. Michael Jackson's popular song, Heal the World, it says this. Heal the world, make it a better place for you and for me and the entire human race. There are people dying. If you care enough for the living, make a better place for you and for me. Some of you probably know or like that song. It's fine. Because we share this longings for a better world. Why? Because every man is created in the image of God. Though fallen, man is still the image of God, marred image of God. So there is eternity in every heart. We long for a place, yet we have never been. We long for something we remember yet never had. We long for that song we remember but never heard. We long to be reunited with something which we never knew. Tim Keller calls this the cosmic nostalgia. In every heart, there's eternity. The world does not know what they long for, but they know this is not how it is supposed to be. Make it a better place, but how? They don't know. Continue the song. There's no hope there. It's just, let's do it. How? I don't know. But the Bible tells us how. But the world doesn't know. We know it well. So if you go out to the world, you can either join their songs, sing the same songs, complain about how things are, or you can be different, informed by the Bible. It is easier to have a lively conversation when you talk about weather. Hey, good weather today. Yes, and usually it ends. But when you bicker about things, it can just go on and on and on. Isn't that easy? When you talk about someone, the negative side of someone, it's just so easy to go on and on and on. How often do we compliment? Thank you for your cooking today. It tastes good. It ends there. How often do we actually look into good things? Dive deeper, share it, season that. So that our lives not focused on the story of the world, the symphony of sigh, but we focus on something better. And that's the world that the world sings. Christians, though, if you remember Romans 8:23, Paul says, we who have the first fruit of the spirits groan inwardly, groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. So we should be different from the world. Our groaning, yes, we groan, but it is inward, it's inside. But what comes out is the gospel. What comes out is the hope. So we learn that from Habakkuk. So look at verse 17 of chapter 3. How Habakkuk brings the song that the world sings into the song that Christians should sing. Verse 17 says, he says, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and be no herd. It sounds like complaining, right? If you just remove the word though. Oh, there is no fruit in the olives. There is nothing good produced on the farm today, this season. We have no more food, nothing. We can just keep going with that. But look at Habakkuk's case. It is really, really bad for them, for Judah. Look at the items mentioned. You can see two triads there. The first triad is fig tree, fruit, and olive. That's the first group. That represents the choicest product of the land. If you remember when Canaan was advertised, promised by God to Israelites, what did God say? God says in Deuteronomy 8, "This is a land of wheat and barley, vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which they will eat bread without scarcity, in which they will lack nothing. They shall eat and be full and bless the Lord their God for the good land he has given." So you see the items there mentioned, the vines, the fig trees, the olive. Now that verse in Deuteronomy 8 continues, "Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today." So God warns them, don't forget. And yet Judah forgot. So now you see God is taking away what was given. The fig tree will not blossom. There will be no fruits on the vines. The produce of olive, it will fail. And that's the first group. Look at the second group. You have the fields, the flock, and the herd. These three provide the bread, milk, meat for the people. And the fields yielding no food means what? No grains for you, nor for your cattle. Your animals die. Then what? The flock is cut off from the fold, no more herd, nothing to eat, nothing to drink, no grain, no bread, no cereals, no vegetable, no wine, no meat, nothing, no wool. So if you think this world's really, really bad in North America right now, trust me, Judah had it worse when the judgment was finally coming. I believe that tribulation will get worse. This world will get worse, yes, but we're not there yet. We're not anywhere close to what Judah was about to experience. So Habakkuk was in a dire situation. It was going to be really bad, and you know how it ended. They were exiled. So if you realize that, what do we do? Look at Habakkuk. He saw what God promised to bring, judgment, how bad it would be, the woes in chapter 2. But yet Habakkuk trusted in God. He did not only cry to God, he did not only trust God, but you see in verse 18, he sang to God. He sang for God. The content of his song is even more astonishing. Even all these, verse 17, look at verse 18. "I will rejoice in the Lord." I will joy is a verb. ESV says, "I will take joy in the God of my salvation." So Habakkuk uses misery, judgment that is coming, as springboard to proclaim who God is and what God will do. God makes me glad. He causes me to rejoice greatly. All these simply cannot take away my joy in the God, my salvation. This is the song of Habakkuk. So if you analyze that, look, he talks about the evil. He talks about the misery. Let's apply that to us. Often, we think it's wrong to talk about our pain, to talk about what we are experiencing that's not pleasant. We might feel like, oh, maybe I'm not pious enough because I sin. So we try to just keep the sin, the battle that we have, the struggle that we are battling to ourselves. But no, look at Habakkuk. It is okay to talk about the misery. We must talk about it. The question is, are you willing to open up to your elders, to one another, about the struggle that you have, about the pain that you're experiencing? And the other side, are you willing to listen? From the other side, are you willing to reach out when you need it? And the other side, are you willing to check in on others? James says, that by confessing sins to one another and praying for one another, we may be healed, James 5. But how can we confess our sins? How can we pray for one another if we do not talk about that? So as Christians, we need to be troubled, yes, but we need to also share that. This is the safest place to talk about it. You don't have to do it alone. Speak of that. So the first application, in short, share your burden. This is how we can relate to one another, even to unbelievers. You go out, you meet your neighbors, non-Christians. Share with them the pain. Yes, I do struggle with sin. Yes, it is hard for me to not be bitter. Yes, I'm just as feeble. I so want to curse, but it's a battle. I know what you're going through because I am going through that too. Now, the question is, do we just stop there or do we move to verse 18? Are you just telling the world we are stuck here? Yes, I struggle with you. Yes, we're in the fallen world. Yes, it's not how it's supposed to be. And we stop. That, then you're just singing the song of the world. But sing the Christian song. Yes, the world is evil. Yes, life is painful. Yes, family life is hard. Yes, people are wicked. My children are sinners as well. But my story doesn't stop there. My story continues. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will still joy in the God of my salvation. Think how powerful that is for the unbelievers. He will be like, yes, you struggle. Yes, we struggle. Yes, but you stop there. I can still have joy. I can still smile and sing. And it's not fake. It's really joy in my heart. Why? I will take joy in the God of my salvation. Who is that? Jesus Christ. You know that. Jesus is the God of our salvation. He is the reason that we can move on from verse 17 to 18. Jesus, the man of sorrow, acquainted with grief, despised, smitten by God, afflicted. But all throughout his earthly ministry, he preaches peace. He preaches rest. After the Last Supper, he knew he was gonna die. But he sang a hymn praising God before he went to Mount Olive. Check it out. It's Matthew 26:30. Jesus sang, knowing that he will be crucified, despised by God, smitten by God, despised by men. Alone he sang. Hebrews 2:12-13 tells us the song that Jesus sings. I will tell of your name to my brothers in the midst of the congregation. I will sing your praise, says Jesus. I will put my trust in him. That's what Jesus sang. And then he went on to the cross. There he cried, I told you this morning, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? Do you guys sing? Now let us pause again, back up. And let me ask, have you felt that God is probably not listening? I've been praying day after day for this sin to be killed. I prayed years after years for my son, for my daughter to be saved. I pray months after months, week after week, so that my illness be healed. And here I am. I'm still like this. I'm still battling sin. Does God really hear? Does he care? We're just so spoiled, aren't we? If you open the Bible, this is not Bible. If you open your Bible, you will see the faithfulness of the unchanging God. From the very beginning, Abel, his blood cried to God. God answered. Abraham, he cried to God. He asked questions. Will you really fulfill this? How will you fulfill this? God answered. Give the covenant, circumcision, and all the signs. All throughout the Bible, I can continue. Samson, even he was sinful. He sinned, and he was there. He prayed to God. Let me this one time show your glory. And God answered. David, after he sinned, he called to God. God answered. I can go on to tomorrow morning, but you know the story. God answered. Why do we not trust him? Why are we so impatient? Why do we doubt his character? Now let me point you to Jesus Christ. Remember he cried, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, God, my God, why have you forsaken me? What happens next? Silence. When the saints called, the adopted children called, God answered. When the Son of God himself called, silence. What a shame for him. People can say, like, you call yourself Son of God? Where's your God? He was mocked. But what did Jesus do? He stayed on the cross. He had all the powers to just jump out, bring judgment. He did not. He stayed on the cross. And his faith, he did not waver once. How do I know? What was the last word that he said on the cross? Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Luke 23:46. The Son of God, the God-man Jesus, trusted in God perfectly, even when there was no answer. Because he knows the character of his God. He knows his God intimately. Is this your faith, brothers and sisters? Can you still trust him when you have not heard yet the answer? Because the Bible shows you he answers you. Because Jesus opens the way. Flip with me quickly to Romans 5. This is your assurance there. Romans 5, you should memorize this. This is the secret of Christian faith, the mystery that's revealed. Therefore, Romans 5 says, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That death of Jesus Christ, the silence that he had, the forsaken reality of Jesus, that is yours and mine. But he bore that so that we may have peace with God. We may have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And then verse 2 of Romans 5 continues, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Verse 3 says, and not only that, but we also glory. That word glory, kauchoma in Greek, it can be translated glory, boast, rejoice. It's the one same words, often translated differently throughout the Bible. So not only that, we also rejoice, we also boast in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance character, character hope, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. We may have peace with God because of Jesus Christ. We may glory, rejoice in tribulation because Jesus secures that hope, sealed that hope. We sang that this morning. So Habakkuk says, I will rejoice with the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. Not because situation is better, not because things become palatable to me. But look at verse 19 of Habakkuk 3, our last verse today. Habakkuk 3, verse 19. I will rejoice because the Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high heels. I rejoice now, present tense, despite my present situation, unanswered prayers, because Yahweh, the Lord, is my strength. I shall not be moved. He gives me faith that can remove mountains. Indeed, righteous shall live by faith. That's the crux of his book, Habakkuk 2:4. It's quoted three times in the New Testament. The righteous shall live by faith, and this faith enables us to glory, to sing. This is why we stand and sing. You don't know the song? I'll tell you the song. This is from Psalm 40. The psalmist sings, God came to save me. God brought me up out of horrible pit, out of the miry bog, miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. That is the song. So if you don't know what to sing, you can begin from there, the new song, the song of salvation in Jesus Christ. So you can go on with your story from verse 17, the world understands that, to verse 18. Even though we have no electricity, even though we have no warmth anymore, even though my world is still broken, even though I am still battling sin, even though my body is wasting away, I will rejoice. I will take joy in the God of my salvation because he makes me stand. That is the reason. Now, I'll close with Jesus himself. Zephaniah 3 says, Jesus will rejoice over us with gladness. This is Zephaniah 3:17. Take note of that one. He will rejoice over us with gladness. He will quiet us with his love. He will rejoice over us with loud singing. If Habakkuk sings it, if the saints of old sing it, Job sings it. He was tempted. He was tried. What did he sing? Job says, even though you slay me, I will trust in you. Jesus lived it. And Jesus sings too. He sings the praise of the Lord. Will you sing it? Join this band. Practice your song. Because you will be in the heavenly choir with Jesus as the soloist. He will sing over us with loud singing. The childlike faith cries to God, complains to God. It's good to do that. But you grow and you trust God. Trust God. And in the mature faith, sings for God. Proclaim his goodness despite your current situation. Now don't forget the last bits of the verse 19. Habakkuk 3:19, to the chief musician with my string instrument. What does that mean? Every one of us is a chief musician. We are the chief musician of our heart. We are the chief musician of our family, of our marriage, of our workplace, of our community. What tune do you set them to sing? Are we joining the symphony of sighs, or are we setting the tune, the song of joy, the new song? Suffering is promised for Christians, but may we proclaim the hope even when we are tried, because Jesus will triumph. The King of Kings shall return and take us home to glory. May this be your faith. May we mature in faith. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the new song that you have put in our mouth. Thank you that we may rejoice. Help us to remember where we were redeemed from, where we came from, so that we remember to reach out to the world that is lost. We were once like that. We once walked like them. But you took us out from the miry pit. And you put the new song in us. So help us to go to the world, not one of them anymore, not as one of them, but we are now preaching to them, bringing the good news, so that they may also have the salvation, the joy that we have in Jesus Christ. Father, teach us to be bold, teach us to be tactful, so that we not only sing with them, but we also renew their song, bringing Jesus Christ to them, and tell them the reason why we sing, because of Jesus Christ that puts the new song. May this church continue to proclaim your name until you come again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.